5B, Cliff Hay on the bass.
That is right.
Let's see, how many lines down from the top? We're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Around 7 lines down from the top from Cliff Hay on the bass. The truth is, I'm not officially starting yet, but we actually started up around halfway up on... Yesterday, we started halfway up on 104B, Cliff Dollar on the bass. So we covered more ground than it might seem. But due to the fact that we're a little bit behind, today is going to be the lightning round. I hope that yesterday was going to be the lightning round, but today's lightning round. Okay, everyone's going to be ready. Here we go. So we want to try to prove over here that when the pasuk says isha, with regards to a yevama, a woman, she can perform chalitza, she can perform the shoe removal service, whether she is an adult or she is a minor. So we recorded an opinion in the Gemara which says that again, as I just said, a woman, whether she's a minor or she's an adult, she can do the chalitza, the shoe removal process. Now we're about to try to figure out who that opinion is. The Gemara says, pick it up, man chachamim. Who are the sages? Who are those sages who said the opinion that I just stated? So the Gemara says, it's Rabbi Yossi, I don't know why they call him Pearl Achabim, the wise men, but Rabbi Yossi is the one who we're referring to here. Now we're about to tell we're about to say over a long story, and everyone okay? Good. Okay, we're about to recount a kind of lengthy story, but the bottom line is the end of the story. We're trying to get to the fact that Rabbi Yossi is the one who holds this opinion. So hold in there. So we go, Rabbi Chiyav, Rabbi Shimon, Bar Rabbi. Those two Amoraim, Havi Yasvi, they were sitting together. Pasach Abinahu, one of them opened up a discussion, began a discussion. But Amar, and he said, Hamas Palel, someone who's praying, Sereshitid Ein of his eyes, Lamata, below. And Rashi says below means to Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure why below means to Eretz Yisrael, but that's what it means. And we're talking about in a post-temple time, after the temple was destroyed, so they're discussing, where should a person direct his focus once the temple's been destroyed? So the first person said he should still direct his focus to Eretz Yisrael. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, Bahayu Einai, my eyes, maybe it says Eini, I think it's Einai, but you Einai v'libi sham kol hayamim. My eyes, my heart should be there all the days. V'chad, the other one said, Amar Einav l'mala, his eye should be directed heavenward. Shenemar, as the puzzle says, Nisal l'vavenu, will raise our hearts, El Kapayim, into our hands, and the rest of the pasuk is, I'm not sure why the Gemara doesn't quote this, El, to our God, Bashamayim, in the heavens. So, one pasuk says, Teretz Yisrael, one pasuk says, to the heavens. Adahachi, as we're discussing this, Asa Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, he's the one we're trying to get at, Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Shmuel, his son, approached them. Amar Lehun, he said to them, B'may Askisu, what are you guys discussing? What are you men, distinguished individuals discussing? Amar Lehun, they said to them, B'tfilah, we're speaking about prayer. Amar Lehun, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, said to this pair, Kach Amar Abba, let me tell you what my father, Rabbi Yossi, said about the discussion that you were just having. Hamispalo, someone who's davening, Sarashitin Einav, his eyes, Lemata, to Eretz Yisrael, Belibo, but his heart, Namala, to the heavens, Kadeshi is Kaim, Mishneh Makros Halalu, so that both of the Psukim should be upheld. One Pasuk says that my eyes should be to Eretz Yisrael, it says heart too, but the other one says that the heart should go up to the sky, so he says the eyes should go to Eretz Yisrael, and the heart should go up to the Shemaim. An important note is just the famous Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos. Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos says that part of the meaning of this is that when a person approaches God to pray, so he should, his eyes should be lamata. He should sort of divest himself from all types of physicality, and then he should try to raise himself up and focus on the heavens. The Gemara continues and says, says. So now, Rabbi Shmuel, excuse me one second. Okay, so now just so these three are sitting, and apparently there are more people there too. Asa Rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, now comes, the Masifta, the Yeshiva. Inhu, Those people, the Habu Klili, who were light-footed, Yisivu B'Dechayu, they got to their places, they sat down pretty quickly. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, the aforementioned Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi who were getting yak, Agav Yukre, because of the fact that he was heavy, he seemed, according to the Gemara here, it seems that he weighed a lot. Havam Mafasa Ba'azil. He was moving a little bit more slowly. So Amali Avdim, this man named Avdim comes along and says, "Me, who's that? Who is this? Shemafasa al Rashi Am Kadosh, who's trampling over the heads of a holy nation." Avdim, by the way, literally means destruction. Very interesting name. Tosos points out that his name was really Abba Yudan, and the contraction of the name, his nickname was Avdim, but still, what an interesting name. But either way, Amar Leh, so Avdim challenged Rabbi Shlomo Bar Yossi and says, "Well, what are you doing, trampling over the heads of a holy nation? You just sat out on the sides." Amar Leh, he said, "Ani Shmuel Bar Yossi. I'm Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi. Shabbasi l'mo Torah. I came to learn Torah. Bei Rabbi from Rabbeinu HaKadosh." Yeah, I guess he could mean my master, but I guess in this context it means Rebbe, you know, the Rebbe in the formal sense, Rebbe Hudanasi. Amarle. So Avdin said back to him, "V'chi ata hagol nilmo Torah, Rebbe, are you befitting to learn Torah from Rabbeinu HaKadosh?" So Amarle. So Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi said back to him, "V'chi Moshe haya hagol nilmo Torah pi agvura, was Moshe Rabbeinu befitting to learn Torah from the mouth of the Almighty?" I mean, for all Moshe's greatness. He was human. God is, of course, God. So Amar Leh, so Adam said back to him, "V'chi Moshe ata? And are you Moshe?" Yeah, Moshe can learn from God. That's, you know, maybe he wasn't right and he did it anyways, but you're not Moshe. Amar Leh, "V'chi Rabcha, is your master, is your Rebbe, Elohimhu, is he God? Elohimhu, excuse me?" So that's the end of the conversation for now. So Amar Rav Yosef, so if Yosef says, "Shakli Rebbe Limitrefasei," Rebbe kind of took his due. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rebbe Huda Nasi, who was hearing this, was listening to this entire back and forth, he actually got his due for not speaking up and defending the great Torah scholar, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, as he was being kind of, you know, I don't want to say insulted, but something of that nature by Avdon. The Ka'amar Leh, and in what sense did Rebbe get his due? The Ka'amar Leh, because Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi in the back and forth in the dialogue that he had with Avdon said to Avdon, "Rabcha," he called Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, "your master, your Rebbe, below Rebbe and not my Rebbe," meaning that in some sense he put himself on the same level as Rebbe. I don't think it was intentional, but the point was that somehow because Rebbe did not speak up to defend Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, so he was put more on par with Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and we'll see how this has played out in a moment where Rebbe was actually going to need Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi for a psak. Ad hachi, as all this was going on, Asi Yavama came to Kamei to Rebbe, came before Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and wanted a psak. So there's a lot going on in this. What's going on in the study hall over here? So Amarle Rebbe. So Rebbe said to Avdon to his Talmud Avdon. He says, "Go out and budka and check her. You know, however one is supposed to check. He wanted to make sure that the person that the Yavamas who was approaching them was an adult." This is getting back to our original point. Levasser Denafak, after Avdon went out to try to figure out whether she was actually an adult, whether she was actually 12 years old, and she had other signs to be an adult. Amar Leh, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi spoke up and said, "Kach Amar Abba, my father, Rabbi Yossi says, Ish." The pasuk says Ish, referring to this whole Yevama Chalitza process. Ish Kasa B'Parsha, Aval Isha, but a woman, which is not mentioned by the Parsha, Ish implying an adult. Aval Isha, but we're talking about a woman, Bein Gedola, Bein Katana, whether she is an adult or whether she is a child. You know, she can perform the chalitza process, the shul mitzvah process. So Amar Leh, so Rebbe said to Avdon, "Ta, come back in, lo tzrichas. You don't have to check now. You don't have to check whether she's an adult or a minor, because the famous phrase kfar hora zaken." Horeh Zaken, the elder Rabbi Yossi, already passed and said that that even a minor can perform the shoe removal service. So we see two things. First of all, this is a little bit more parenthetic for our general points, is that Rabbi actually needed Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi at the end, and ended up being more of Avdon's Rebbe than it was Rabbi Yossi ended up being more of Avdon's Rebbe than Rabbi Yudan Asi's Rebbe. But additionally, we see that Rabbi Yossi is the one who holds that a woman, whether she's a katana or a gadola, she can perform the chalitza process. Continuing with the story, so kamafasna. Now Avdon's on the outside and everyone's sitting. So kamafasna Avdon va'asi. Now Avdon is kind of trampling over everyone else to get back in. I think from other places that everyone was sitting on the floor, so it wasn't like they had neatly arranged rows and you just slide up like this. You actually, I don't know, whatever this thing, Indian style or whatever it is, and everyone has to trample. Over, kind of have to step over people to get to their places. So Amaleus now to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Misha Tzarachlo Am Kadosh, someone who the holy nation needed, meaning him. They needed him for his psak, to say over any psakim that he had from his father. So Yifsa, he can trample Al Rashi Am Kadosh, literally over the heads of a holy nation. Misha Yitzarachlo Am Kadosh, you Avdan, looks like we didn't need you. Because even though Rebbe sent you as an emissary, at the end of the day, I give them stock, not you. I told them what to say. So Misha Inter of Am Kadosh, the one that the holy nation doesn't need, Heyach Yifsal Rashi Am Kadosh. How can he possibly trample over and go back to his place while stepping over the holy nation? So Amalei Rebbe. So now Rebbe speaks up and Rebbeinu Kadosh Rebbeinu Nasi says, La'avdan kum beduchtech, stay in your place. You have no right to. And by the way, these are halachos. Whether a person's allowed to, when everyone's sitting, whether they're allowed to just kind of like, I don't know what it would be nowadays when everyone's sitting in chairs and there are rows or whatever it is. But I guess theoretically, if a Rebbe was giving a shir and everyone was sitting on the floor, so the Rebbe wasn't sitting on the floor, so there'd be a question about whether you'd be allowed to actually get to your place after you left. Okay, so Tana. The Braisa. But Osha Shah, at that time, Nitzara Avdon. Avdon got Tsaras. He got, we'll define it right now loosely as leprosy. But he got leprosy. V'tavu Shnei Vanav, and two of his sons drowned. Well, son. Umianu Shtei Kalosav. And two of his daughter-in-laws, I guess they were married off to his sons when they were minors, and when they grew up, they decided not to complete the marriage, and they refused. They did a process whereby they turned down the marriage. This was a punishment for whatever the correspondences are between whatever the reasons are why he got these three things. These three things were punishments for the way he interacted with Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, Berich Rachamana, blessed is the merciful one, that's God. The Kasve La'avdan, who embarrassed Avdan or punished Avdan, I mean literally Kasve means a bunch of different things, but I think in this context it means embarrassed Avdan, B'hai Amo, in this world. That kind of comparison for the next world. It sounds like Avdon wasn't such a bad person. It just, he had this interaction. There was a lot of discussion about what each one was thinking, and he received his due in this world, but in the next world he's clear. So I'm Rabbi Yami. Rabbi Yami says, Midvarav shall Beribi, from the words of Beribi. Beribi, as Rashi says, is a way of describing a great Torah scholar, and that in this context is referring to Rabbi Yossi. I don't know what Beribi, that particular, the construction of that particular word, I don't know what that connotes, but either way, Rabbi Yami says I don't know why it connotes a great sage, but anyways, Rabbi Yami says, B'dvar shel Beribi of Rabbi Yossi Nilmod, that katan a minor, she's allowed to be choletzes, she's allowed to remove the shoe of the yavam, of her potential marriage partner, but for Utos, when we're still dealing with young children, I think Rashi says, I believe he says the ages of 6 or 7. Let me just check that. trying to find the Rashi over here. But Midrash Baribi, kind of chuletz b'futos. Yeah, when she's 7 years old, I mean, that's the time when theoretically some of her transactions can be considered valid transactions. So here he's saying that this is a little bit comparable to transactions. Business transactions. So once we said that a minor can affect, she can perform this type of halachic process. So she can do it even when she's 7. Rava says she has to get to the approximate age when she's able to make a nadarim, when she's able to make vows. That age being 11, the Gemara says that even when she's 11, as long as she knows what she's doing, so her vows are binding. The Hilchasa, and by the way, that would be let's leave out the Lumdus for now, because we're in a little bit of a rush. The Hilchasa, and the Halacha is, Ad Shetavi Shtei Sairos, even though Rabbi Yossi says that a minor is allowed to perform Chalitza, as we just said, so our Halacha is, that we have to wait till she has 2 pubic hairs, that means until she's an adult, 12 and 2 pubic hairs. So now, going back to the Mishnah said, Chaltza b'shnayim. If she did the chalitz pass, the shumu pass in front of 2 dayan, in front of 2 judges, or b'shlosha, two judges on their own. Rashi said, without the third, you normally need to be for a basin for a court of law, or at least certain types for this one. Or b'shlosha, or she did in front of 3 judges, and one of the judges was found to be unfit to be a judge. The Mishnah says, if him say echad mehem karvo pasul, and one of the judges, in the case of the 3, is found to either be a relative or he's unfit in some way, so chalitzasa psula, I'm just reading from the Mishnah right now, her shoe removal doesn't count. But then there's a pair, I'm saying it specifically that way, there's a pair of Tanam, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, who are machshirin, who say that even if it's before 2, or even 2 judges, or even if it's before 3, and one of the judges is unfit to be a judge, so it still counts. Continuing the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yossi bar Minyumi. I should have said, I think the Mishnah says, I guess the Mishnah doesn't say that, but either way. Okay, going on with the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yossi bar Minyumi, Rav Yossi bar Minyumi says, Amar Rav Nachman, the Simer of Nachman, Ein halacha ko'osu azug. The halacha is not like the fine, that pair of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, who are makshir, who permit in this process. So the Gemara now asks, "Baham Rav Nachman Chadazimna? Didn't Rav Nachman? It wasn't the said name of Rav Nachman another time. The Amar Rav Yossi bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman. We have another statement, a different place. Rav Yossi bar Minyumi said the name of Rav Nachman that chalitza has to be b'shlosha with 3 judges. So again, one time we say that it can't be with." One time we kind of say in the negative, it can't be in front of 2 judges or 3 judges where one of the judges is unfit, and the second time, the second statement seems to say the same thing, where the chalitza has to be in front of 3 kosher judges. So the Gemara says, Tzrichi, I need both statements. D'i itmar ha-kamaisa. If I would have said the first statement, Hava amina hani mi l'chatchila, I would have thought that the requirements for 3 is only, you know, in the best case scenario when it's possible to do that. Aval d'yevet, once the action was already done, I feel betrayed. That's why the Mishnah has to say what it says. I mean, that's why the first statement has to say what it says, that the halacha is not that you can only do it with 2 or 3 where one is unfit. Rather, you need 3. To tell you that even after the mice is done, the eved, so you still need 3. Kamash Milan, in halacha ko'oso ziva, as I just said. V'yash mo'inan, and if I would have said the second statement, in halacha ko'oso ziva, ela katana kam, excuse me, that was the... I hope I'm doing this correctly. If I would have just said the second statement, I believe that's the second statement. Havamina, I would have thought the eved 3 is okay. Avalachatchil by chamishi, you need 5 tzricha. So to tell you that not only is less than 3 okay, but you don't need more than 3. It's a whole discussion whether you should have you should really have preferably more than 3. But the bottom line is all you need is 3. The Mishnah said, the Mishnah continued, and said there was a Maisa where there was a Chalitza Beinu Levena, kind of like a private Chalitza Beves HaSurim in a jail. Uva Maisa Lefnei Rabbi Kiva, and people came and asked Rabbi Kiva what the psak should be on this situation. The Hechshir, and he said it was a kosher Chalitza. So the Gemara now says, Beinu Levena, if they did the Chalitza, they did the shoe removal only privately, Miadana, who knows about it? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, that says in the name of Shmuel, but it must be where the Edom Roar and Osom Bechutz. There must have been some witnesses who at least saw this process. They were just standing outside the jail. So Ibai Elihu. So the Gemara asks the question. Was it that the Chalitza, which took place between him and her, I guess with, you know, witnesses watching on the outside, was it Avroi? Now we're suggesting a different possibility if it actually transpired in the case. Was it that the Chalitza actually took place outside the jail? Uva Mais Lefnei Rabbi Kiva, and the Mais came before Rabbi Kiva, who at the time was Beves Hashum, because the Romans had imprisoned him for the crime of teaching Torah. Oh, Dilma! Maisa Shechaltzu, that as we originally suggested, that the Maisa Shechaltzu Beinu Levena, when they had the Chalitza, the Shu'um rule process, which was private, that occurred with Beis Asurim, and I guess the continuation would be was that, I guess it came to, this happened before Bikiva was in jail, and it came to, Rabbi Kiva was outside of jail. It's a little bit hard to read the first option of the question, where the actual chalitza occurred outside the jail, into the words of the Mishnah. But different commentaries discuss that, and perhaps with different gersos, different versions of the text, we can make it work. Presumably, they were using one of those. So, anyways, but the bottom line is that the Gemara says, in the end of the day, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Amar Rav. He says, in the name of Rav, Bevesa Asurin Haya Maisa. The actual procedure took place in jail, Uleves HaSurin, and the question also came to the Beis HaSurin, Uleves HaSurin, Bamaisa, and also the question to Rabbi Akiva came into the Beis HaSurin, meaning the woman and the man were in jail, and Rabbi Akiva was also in jail. And the Yerushalmi discusses how exactly the Chachamim worked out the trick. The Romans, and remember, Rabbi Kiva was in jail because he was teaching Torah. So, how are they going to come and ask him a Shaila? So the Gemara said, the Yerushalmi explains that they had a little bit of a little trick how they played to pretend that nothing was going on. They asked someone walked by Rabbi Kiva, and can't think of the word right now, but in a very whatever.
Centrifuge.
Huh? Not centrifuge. No, in a very tricky way, in a very, spy type of way.
Subterfuge.
No, not looking for subterfuge. Okay, I can't think of the word, whatever it is. But,
in the kind of coded parable.
Man. 2 minutes after I give the sharing, I feel like that's what it is. But how can I think of what I'm speaking? 55,000 words a minute here. So, in a very coy, subtle way, whatever it is, so they managed to get the answer out of Rabbi Akiva. You know, one of them walked by and pretended he was selling something. They worded it a certain way, and then Rabbi Yehuda was like, "Oh, do you have this?" And he threw it in that it was kosher. That it works.
Selling needles.
Huh?
Selling needles.
Yeah, so they're selling needles. No, I'm just not getting into the details. We don't have the time. I don't want to fully flesh that out right now. Okay, Gemara, finally! 106A. Today is daf. We got to do this fast. Tanu Rabbanan. Our rabbis taught in the Braisa. Chalitza Mutas. A chalitza, the shumuvel, which was done under arid circumstances. There was something done inappropriately about it. So the Braisa says it's kshera. So now the Gemara asks, "Ezo hi chalitza mutas? What is this mistaken chalitza? What happens there?" So I'm Reish Lakish says, "Kosha omrim lo chalotz." I'm gonna have to get back onto this camera, by the way, and say, just for posterity.
It went off.
No, it's on.
You're on.
Come on. Okay. Okay, still can't think of it. Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, what's this case of a mistaken chalitza? It's not, kol she'omrim lo chalotz, Anytime they say to the person who has the shoe taken off, to the Yabam, they say, remove the shoe, ubekach, and through such, atakonsa, you'll end up marrying her. Obviously, that doesn't work. The whole purpose of the chalitza process is to remove the shoe, and we allow the woman to marry whoever she wants, and actually, she specifically can't marry the person whose shoe she takes off. But we're a mistake in chalitza, where she says, take off the shoe, and through that, you actually marry her. So, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan Mishlach, his baby said to Rish Lakish, Anishona, I've been teaching all along, whether she has the proper intention when doing chalitza, velunas kavna he, but she didn't have the proper intention, bainshinas kavna he, whether she had the proper intention, velunas kavin who, and he didn't have the proper intention, chalitza sapsula, the chalitza has the effect of offering her, of prohibiting her to marry the other brothers, but it doesn't render her fit to marry whoever she wants. I mean, the chalitza process was not fully complete. Until both of them had the proper intentions. The and you, Reish Lakish, Amarit, want to say that chalitza sakshera, that under these false premises take off the shoe and you know through that you'll marry her, you want to say that that's kashira? I think even if one of them has only a neutral type of intention, so that's going to render the whole thing not fully complete. And you want to tell me that if they have the kind of the opposite intention, that's going to work. Elo, rather, what does the Brisa mean when it's speaking of a mistake in chalitza? He says kol she'omer lo. Anytime when they say to the man chalotzla, you should allow her to remove your shoe al manas. On the condition, shatitian lecha, she'll give you masayim zuz, 200 zuz, certain monetary amounts. Still, apparently, as the Brisa says, that's going to work. Why it works is a whole long story. But the bottom line is, it doesn't follow that type of statement doesn't follow the valid the prescribed rules for making a condition. It doesn't fit some technical requirements for. For making a condition. So Tanya Nami Hachi of a Braisa, which supports what we just said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan just said, Chalitza Mutas, a mistaken Chalitza is Kashira, is perfectly good. Well, not perfectly good, but it's good. Ezohi, what is that mistaken Chalitza? Chalitza Mutas, what is that type of mistaken Chalitza? Kol She Omrim, anytime we say to the man, Chalotzla, you should remove her shoe, Al manas on the condition shetitim lechav that she will give you masayim zuz 200 zuz umaisa, and I believe this is the Gemara speaking, not the Braisa, umaisa biisha achas, and there was an occurrence where one woman came shenafel fi yabam, there was a yibam situation, she in haganla, who wasn't fitting her, either he was like 50 years older than her, I don't know, but she was much older than her, or I don't know, he has some type of blemish, and apparently the yabam, still the man, he still wanted to consummate the Yibam process, he wanted to complete it, but she was like, come on, it's not appropriate. I don't know what she said, but anyways, the Chum said, perhaps she didn't say that, but the Chum said this is not an appropriate marriage to consummate. But he still didn't wanna back down. So Amalud said to him, you know what, I'll tell you what, Chalot's law, you should let her, I'll tell you what, let her do the Chalitza process, Amanas, in the condition, Shatitin L'Chum Masayim says, okay, fine, so you won't marry her, but she'll give you 200 Zuz. Uva Maisel, Rabbi Chia, and the Maisa came before Rabbi Chia. I hope I'm going to continue I hope I didn't lose my place here. One second, please. Right. Uva Maisa Lefnei Rabbi Chia. The question of whether this was a valid action came before Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia, and he said it was fine. Continuing along these lines, Ahu, that man, the Asal Kamid Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, who came before Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amar La. Meaning a man came with a woman in a Yibam situation. So Amar Las Rabbi Chia Bar Abba said to the woman, he says, Biti, my daughter, Amodi, according to at least one interpretation in Rashi, this means that you should stand up and get ready to perform Yibam. So Amar Lai, So Aberle Ima, so the woman's mother was there. I don't know. She accompanied her to the court, and he said Yeshivasa, her sitting Zohi Amidasa. That's really her standing. In other words, she wants to abstain. So and she wants to perform the chalitza process. Amar La. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said to the mother, Yadakle, do you know the man? You know anything about him? Samarle in. I know him, and I do know him. And Mamona Hu the Chazila. He wants my cash, the kabay lemechli, and he wants to eat it up. He wants to consume it. He wants to, you know, take it for himself. The kabay lemechli, no, he wants to eat from it. So Amar La, so Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said to the mother, said to the daughter, Lo nichalach, do you not want this marriage? Do you not want the yibin? Amar La, I don't want it. So now the problem was that the yibam, apparently, I guess, if her report was correct, he still wanted the money. He wanted to marry this girl. So Amar La, so he said to the yibam, you know what? You want money? Chalotzla, have her move the tshuva, v'kacha takunza, and through that, you will marry her. So Lavasha the Chalatzla, now after the Shumu process was done, so Amar Le, so Bechibar Abba said to the Yabam, Hashta, listen, now, I just want to tell you, that wasn't the full process, didn't work completely. Hashta minach ipasla, now you're not allowed to marry her because, you know, I just tricked you. Maybe he, I don't know. I was going to say he threw in a hehe, but that wouldn't be appropriate for an Amora. But he was like, gotcha. That's better. Gotcha. Listen, it didn't work. I gotcha already. So chalotzla, finish the process. You know, chalotzla chalitza ma'al yisa. Do a regular, normal chalitza without any stipulations. Whether the stipulation actually works to render her unfit to marry to other brothers, that's a different story. Excuse me, render the man unfit to marry the woman, that's a whole long story, but at least he got, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba got what he wanted from the Yamban. So he says, chalitza chalitza ma'al yisa, so do a perfectly valid chalitza without any stipulations. Ki hechad asishtari la'ama. So she should, she should be permitted to the world. A similar case. Bas Chamuha, the daughter of the father-in-law, the Rav Papa, sometimes we call it sister-in-law, but I guess sister-in-law can refer to lots of different situations, but his, you know, wife's sister, Bas Chamuha, the Rav Papa, Nefla l'fayyabim, there was a Yibam situation, and the Yibam was she'in Hagunlaw, it was not befitting her again, either he was too old, or he had some type of blemish, so Asala Kamidab, and I guess he still wanted to marry, I guess the Yibam still wanted to marry the girl, come from apparently a prestigious family, so I'm not saying that was the intention, but you know, that's what's going on here. Asala Kamidab, so the situation came before Abaye. So Amar Le, so Abaye said to the man, similarly, Chalotzla, remove her shoe, uvekacha kota konsa, and through that you're going to marry her. Same thing as before. So Amar Le, Rav Papa, so Rav Papa said to Abaye, Lo sever lamart, the master, the you Abaye, do you not hold lahad Amar Rabbi Yochanan to that which Rabbi, excuse me, this is a little bit different situation. This is the original situation we discussed. Let me read that one more time. So Rabbi Abaye said to the man, Chalotzla, remove her shoe, and through that you'll marry her. Again, that was the dispute between the Shlokesh and Rabbi Yochanan. The Shlokesh said that should work, and Rabbi Yochanan said it shouldn't work. So Abaye said that to the man. So now Rav Papa says back to Amar Le, Rav Papa says to Abaye, Lo sever lamar, this master, you, Abaye, do not hold the hada Amar Rabbi Yochanan. That which Rabbi Yochanan said, which that this type of situation doesn't work. You can't tell her that, you can't tell the man that through his shoe removal he's going to marry her. It's just the opposite. So what should I say to him? How should I get him to marry the woman? How should I get him to do the chalitza process? Amar Le, so say to him, Chalotzla, remove a shoe, amanas, shetitin l'chav masayim zuz, on the condition that I'll give him 200 zuz. Okay, fine, great. So the Vashar the Chalitza, they said that. They said, do the Chalitza process, and we'll give you 200 zuz, you'll be fine, you won't marry her, but at least your baking can will be more full. So the Vashar the Chalitza, after the Chalitza process, Amar Lasu, Abaye said to the woman, Zil Havle, go give him the money. We never discussed whether she actually has to pay up in the end. So Amar Le, so our Papa said back to Abaye, Mishata Ani Becha, a I'm fooling you type of thing of Delay. She did that. She's like, you know, I was just playing you. I mean, she didn't have any really intention to do it. So she just didn't have to, she shouldn't have to pay that. Milo Tanya, don't we learn the Brisa, continues. Papa, and someone just escaped jail, and he's on the run. And there was a ferry before him. He's got to cross the river. The police are hot on his tail. But Amarleh, and he says to the ferryman, "Toll diner." In other words, take. I'll pay you $100,000. The guy's like, from here to there. He's like, yes. $100,000, get behind the wheel, we're going right now. So obviously, you know, that's not the normal price, the dinar or whatever, it's an exorbitant amount. But he said, told dinar about Havi Rini. So the price of passing is in El Escaro. You know, I guess after the person who's escaping from the prison, you know, finally gets away from the police and he wants to pay back, his ferryman. And, you know, I guess somehow the ferryman tracked him down and wants his money. He says, you know, he only has to pay him, you know, $5 or something like that, for whatever the rest of the ride is. So, Abba, we see from there, Amar Le Mishata Nibacha, that it's a similar case over here where she was saying, you know, I was just fooling with you. She wanted a, he wasn't fitting for her. So she just wanted to get out of the situation. I mean, that was the case over there. Hachanami, similarly in our case, Mishata Nibacha, that's what she was doing. So, Amar Le, so now, by his sister, Rav Papa, Avu Checha, where's your father? Amar Le Bamasa, he's right here, he's in the city. Ima Checha, where's your mother? I don't even bother, she's also in the city. So Abai thought to himself, you know, that's why he must be so sharp, because his parents in the city, they're supporting him, he has time to learn all day. So Yahav Behu Ene, so Abai literally, gave his eyes, placed his eyes on the parents of Rav Papa, Ushchivan, and they died. Now, the commentators explain that he didn't actually, you know, I don't know, purposely, stare them down with his laser vision and move them down that way. It's just that when Abai was contemplating this, so Mimela he brought up the situation in God's eyes. That's kind of just what happened by sort of thinking about it, and that rendered them to be scrutinized more carefully whether they were fitting for such a situation, and apparently they weren't, and you know. Then they were died. They died. B'day Shamayim. Okay, continuing with the Gemara, we can discuss that more, but not now. The Gemara continues and says, Tanu Rabbanan, a rabbi's torn in brisa, chalitza mutas. This type of mistaken chalitza, which you mentioned before, kshira, get muta, but a get literally means a document, but in this case referring to a divorce document. So get muta, but a mistaken get. So that is pasul. Chalitza meuses, a forced chalitza, a coerced chalitza, psula, is invalid. Get meuse. How am I doing with time over here? I don't even know. Okay, we're okay. We're okay. Doesn't make, we're finishing this doc. Get nether. Get meuse, a forced get, is kasher. So hey, keep going. We're asked, what's going on here? What do you mean that a forced get is gonna be okay? Either Amar Rotsani, if he says that I'm willing to do this and I agree to this, so then I feel called tsunami. In the case of chalitza, that should be okay. And you the ilo Amar Rotsani, get nami lo. A get also shouldn't work. Meaning both by chalitza and both by a get, so we should require his consent. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar chalit." We're going to revise the brisa to be in line with what we just said. What we just suggested, chalitza mutas, a mistaken chalitza leulam kasher. The get muta, and a divorce document which is mistaken leulam pasul. Is no matter what going to be invalid. Chalitza meuses, the get meusa, a chalitza which has been coerced, and a get which has been coerced, zimnin kasher, zimnin pasul. Sometimes it's kasher, sometimes it's pasul. When how does that work? Hada amar, when it's kosher, is when he says rotsani. Hada lo amar rotsani. The case where it's not kosher is where we don't have his consent. So we're both in a get and chalitza. So the Brisa ends up saying that we need his consent. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, yakriv oso. There are extra words in the pasuk speaking about a korban that he should be able to bring the korban. Milami, this teaches shakofen oso. Now we actually, if he vowed to bring a korban, he doesn't fulfill his obligations. We force him to bring the korban. Yachol bal korcho. Wait a second. You're saying we're going to force him? Tam lomer, the pasuk says l'ritzono, it has to be on his own volition. Hakei tzad, how do you resolve the two? That on one hand we force him, on the other hand it has to be, you know, it has to be willingly, and with the korban. Kofen oso ad sheyom aru tzani. We have this famous line. We force him. We kind of push him until he says that's what I really want. I'm going to elaborate on this in a second. The same thing we find by divorce documents. We force him. Ad shiomar, until he says rotsani, that I want this. Famous Rambam, my mind, and he explains what? How does this work? Huh? Well, yeah, you can, not nowadays, but back in the day, yes, when there was authority, the Sanhedrin had authority in Eretz Yisrael, so yes, if someone didn't want to give a get, they're allowed to beat him up until he says, okay, I want it. But the Rambam says, the Rambam explains that deep down inside, every person wants to do the Ratzon Hashem. So it's true that in order to get into certain extreme circumstances, you have a case in Laguna. So yes, you have to beat him until he's willing to give the get. But when he says Rotsani, even though he was forced to do that, that Rotsani is a reflection of what he truly, really wants to do inside, which is to be Mekayim the Ratzon Hashem. Famous Rambam, famous case, Vayter. The Gemara says, Amar Rava says the name of Rav Schor, who said Amar Rav Huna said the name of Rav Huna. Choltzin, you can do chalitza. The couple, the potential couple, can do chalitza. Afal pisha in makirin, even though Beis Din doesn't recognize who they are. Meaning, Beis Din hasn't ascertained for sure that this is the yavam and this is the, you know, potential yavam. This is the potential yavama. And the manin, and we also, if a minor is married off to a man when she's a minor, and she grows up and she becomes an adult, she can refuse that marriage. Afal pisha in makirin. Even though we're not sure that the basin hasn't ascertained with 100% certainty that this is the man who she was betrothed to as a minor, and she's not the woman. The fichach, but a result of this is that in Kosvin get chalitza, we don't write get literally, as I mentioned, is a document. In Kosvin get chalitza, we don't write a document which certifies that the chalitza was done. Woman might want that. She's dating her husband, and she's like, "Did you for sure did that? Yeah, really, really. You know, just can you bring proof?" So, another husband in the future. So, in Kosvin Gachalitza, we don't write a document of shoe removal. Until we ascertain for sure that the two people who performed the chalitza were who they were supposed to be. In Kosvin get mean, and we don't write this get document which certifies that the refusal was done. LMK makirin, unless the Beis Din recognize it, you know, ascertain with 100% certainty who the two parties were. Because if we initially allowed it without the recognition, once those are the circumstances, we can't go ahead and write her a document certifying that we didn't check it out 100% yet. As this gorgeous about to say what I just said, the chayshin and the Beis Din Tohen were suspicious that there were suspect that there might be a court which erred. The Rava Didei and Rava himself, Omer Rava himself says, even though he was just quoting from somebody else, different din, he himself says, in chutzin, we don't perform the chalitza process, the shum rov process, el imkei makirin, unless the Beis Din that's basically knows for sure who the two parties are that came before him. They have to be, whatever, however they do it. And you can't have this refusal process, Elam Kid Makirin, until there's a complete recognition. Lefichach, therefore, we do write a document of shum removal in these cases, Afal Pishay in Makirin, even though you didn't recognize fully who they were. I guess they did recognize the Kosim Gadmian Afal Pisha in Makirin. I realize that I'm not 100% sure what that line means. Afal Pisha in Makirin. Let me see one second. One second, Avishim Rukin Vosalam Mishnah. Look, I have to get back to that line. I have to be honest. Those words are eluding me. What does it mean? Afal Pishit in Makirin. Anyone know?
It says here the witnesses rather than basting.
Oh, with the witnesses? It's talking about the witnesses, even though the witnesses didn't fully know who they are. The Kosman gave me an alpha in Makirin. It could be that that's what initially meant, that I kept referring to the Makirin, those who recognize the, as the beast in ascertaining. It could be it was referring to the witnesses all along. How may they make that mistake? Okay. I hope everyone understood that. In other words, the Machlokas was about whether, if according to this revision, it would be that the Machlokas is about whether the, not whether the beast has to certify 100% that they know who each person is that came before them, and that's the appropriate people, but rather the witnesses did, and there's machlokas with regards to that, whether, you know, if we don't have, if the witnesses don't have to know for sure, so then the Beis Din, then the Beis Din cannot write this Get Chalitza, but if they do know for sure, then the Beis Din can write the Get Chalitza. And just continuing, because them get me in terms of the refusal, same thing, Afal Pisha in Makirin, even though the witnesses don't recognize, We still write the Get Chalitza. Velo Chashinan, and we're not concerned with Beis Din Toin for a mistaken Beis Din. Continuing on, Mishnah, new mitzvah. Mitzvah, 15 minutes. Mitzvah, we have to go TV over, I hope not. Mitzvahs, we're doing a page and a half today, so let's see what we can do. Mitzvah Chalitza, the mitzvah of the shoe removal. What's the process? Bahu, the man comes, the yavam comes via vimto, and the woman, the vaisten, to the court of law. Vehin masiyin lo itza hahogeneslo, and they give him advice which is befitting to him. Meaning, they have to, the vaisten has to take a look and see whether this is an appropriate marriage that should take place, or whether the chalisha should take place, depending on who the two people are. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, the karulo Zikne Iro, the elders of his city should call out to him, Vidibrulav, and Vidibrulav, they speak to him, or what do they speak to him? Meaning, they tell him whether this is something they should do, he should consummate the marriage. Vihiomeris, continuing the process, Vihiomeris, she says, Me'in give me, I believe that's the way it's punctuated, Me'in yivami, my Yabam refuses, Lahakim la'achiv, shame be Yisrael, to uphold for his brother, the one who passed away, a name in Israel, lo ava yabami, the yabam is not willing to complete the process. V'hu omer, yeah, v'hu omer, and now he responds and says, lo chafatzi lekachta, I don't want to take her as a wife. V'loshan ha-kodesh, v'loshan ha-kodesh hayum, and the whole process would have to be said specifically in Hebrew. In biblical Hebrew, v'nigusha yivimto. Then continuing with the process, the pasuk says v'nigusha yivimto a love. The yivama approaches the man, the ini hazikin, before the eyes of the elders. V'cholta nalo, and she will remove his shoe me'al raglo from his foot. V'yarka b'fanav, and she spits before him. And the Mishnah says it has to be roke hanira l'dayanim. It has to be the spit which the judges actually see. So the pasuk says it has to be the ini hazikim to the eyes of the judges. Continuing with the process, v'ansa v'amra, and she responds and says, so should it be done to a man who refuses to build up the house of his brothers. Ad kah, until this point in the parsha, the parsha continues a little bit more. I mean, that mini parsha in the Torah speaks about, in Kisesi, I believe it is, where it speaks about, or it speaks about Yibam, until that point they would read, but they wouldn't finish reading up the Parsha. Ukshehikra Rabbi Horkanas, Tachas Ha'ala B'Kfar Eitam, when Rabbi Horkanas was having these people read, under the Ela tree in the village of Etam. I mean, I don't know why we care. It's just like, I don't know where we care where this was taking place. But when Rabbi Yochanan did it over there, the Gomer's called Parsha, and he actually finished all the Parsha. That's what he decided to do. Huxa called Yos Gomer called Parsha. They would end up finishing the Parsha, continuing on. V'nikra Shmo B'Yisrael, and his name should be called in Israel, or the name of the house, Beis Cholot Hanal, the house of the shoe removal. So when you actually do that, when you call that out, the Mishnah says it's mitzvah b'dayanim, the judges have to do it, lo mitzvah b'talmidim, and it's not a commandment which the students who are observing everything that goes on should do. Actually, a lot of times nowadays, rabbis who actually perform this process, they bring along students, so if they're learning the Vamos, they should know what to do. Come on, tell me, we shouldn't have cases like this. Rabbi Huda says, mitzvah kol umnim sham, it's a commandment, and all who are standing there, lomar, and not just the dayanim, but everyone has to say, chalotz. Chalutz hanal, the place where not place. Chalutz hanal, the shoe removal. I don't know why the commentators discuss why you don't have to say based house of the shoe removal. Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says mitzvahs chalitza, the commandment of the shoe removal, the soul process. Korah, she reads, v'kore, and he reads, v'choletzes, and she removes the shoe, v'rokaka, and she spits v'korah, and she reads again. All those details, the details of what all that meant. Just like I just said in the Mishnah, it's just describing what we just described in the Mishnah. My kamash malon, what's this coming? He's just the Gemara asks. Masnisen he, as I just said, it is the Mishnah. The Mishnah described this process exactly. So Hakam Bashmalan, this statement of Rabbi Yehuda, where he basically says mitzvah chalitza is exact mitzvah chalitza. The mitzvah chalitza is exactly the way we said in the Mishnah. Mitzvah hachi, the appropriate way to perform the mitzvah is as described in the Mishnah. That's why he uses the lashon of mitzvah. He says mitzvah schalitza. This is the appropriate way to perform the mitzvah. V'yapech, and you reverse some of the. But if you reverse some of the order over there, which at least was described in the Mishnah, less lanba, we don't have to worry about it. It's still a kosher chalitza. Tanya nami hachi. We have a brisa which says the same thing. Which bears out the point we just made. Bein shehikdim chalitza l'rikiko, whether the shoe removal preceded the spinning, or bein shehikdim rikiko l'chalitza, or whether the spinning preceded the shoe removal. Did I just say that same thing twice? Yeah. Bein shehikdim chalitza l'rikiko, whether you had the shoe removal precede the spinning, or bein shehikdim rikiko l'chalitza, whether you had the spinning precede the shoe removal. Masha asa, it's fine. You know, if you mess up the order, that's okay too. So Amar Abayi says, "Hi man, demakri get chalitza." Someone who's reading out loud this document of chalitza. Excuse me for 1 second. Lo likri. So that meaning, because what was happening here was that someone would read out the words that she's supposed to say. I believe this is the case. I think Rashi's bringing this out. The person who's reading to the woman the words that she's supposed to say. Lo likri lidida. He shouldn't, you know, read out loud to her for her to responsibly respond to him. Lo lechude, the word lo alone. The abba yabami, and my yabam is consenting, is willing, lechude, alone. Meaning, when she's reading, he would say, lo, and she would say, lo, yaba abmi, my yibam desires. The words are really supposed to say, lo abba yabmi, my yabam does not desire to consummate the process. But it also could be, lo, no, abba yabmi. But that wouldn't work. Or abba yibmi, whatever, how was it pronounced? Yabmi? Yeah. Going on. Demashma. Oh, because if you would have spit out the words, it's mashma abi yabmi, as I just said, that the yavim actually desires to do it. Ella, he should say, even if he's reading the rest, word by word, those three words, he should say, Ella, lo abi yabmi. The man does not want to marry me. And additionally, velo likri lidei, and he shouldn't. When the person who is reading out the document where the psukim are written upon, or whatever the words are written upon, when he's reading it out to him for him to responsibly respond to him, so he shouldn't say lo luchude chavati luchude. He shouldn't say lo no chavati, because it sounds like lo no chavati. It sounds like he wants to actually take her as a wife. Ella, you should say lo chavatzi lekachta. Those three words together. I don't want to take her as a wife. Rava Amar, Rava says, if Suke Mosa here, it's just a little hefsek, just a little break in the words. If Suke Mosa less than Bob, we don't have to worry about the, that type of cessation. That's, it's actually fine, so you can read it word by word. Rav Ashi Ashkechele Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi Soy, founder of Kahana, he was in the middle of the Yibam process, in the middle of the Chalitza process. The Kamet Star, he was painting himself to say, lo, yeah? I'm sorry, lo abayami. Say it all together. Lo chalais de lachta. Say it all together. Umakula, and he was reading to her. This is the first part of the process. Lo abayami. He wanted her to say those three words together. That my yofim is not willing to finish off this process. Amalei. So Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, lo sarvalei mar. Does the master not hold lahad de Rava, that which Rava said? That you can actually split up the two words, split up the three words, lo, and say avayavmi on its own, and it's not a problem. Amarle, so he says, Moda Rava admits that below avayavmi and those three words, not lo chavatzi lekachta, which he's saying, below avayavmi, that which she is saying, Rava admits that those three words have to say it together. I initially said, excuse me, that he was painting himself, Rav Kahana was painting himself to have both the Yavama say those three words together and the Yavama say her three words together. It's just he was only painting himself to have her, the Yavama say Lo Abayami together because he thinks that Rava, for whatever reason, he thinks that Rava would admit that those three words have to say it together because Rav else would have the implication that, that she actually wants to consummate the marriage. So Amar Abai says, "Hi man, the cost of Gita the Chalit Sasa." Someone who's writing all these psukim on a document that the person in the basin is going to read off to the parties involved. Lichtov Hachi should write the following: Akrinuha Lidida. I read to her, and she obviously responded. Min me'in yivmi, me'in yivami. Is that did I pronounce that correctly? Me'in yivami or me'in yivmi? Me'in yavami, my yavam refuses. Ad avayami, yibmi or yavami? Yavmi. I'm gonna get that right. Okay, I'm gonna start. I'll look it up later. Ad avayami until my yavam desires. Meaning, what he's doing is he's saying that I read from these first two words to these last two words. And he doesn't write three words together because the Gemara in Gittin says that if you write three words of a puzzle together, so you actually have to write scratches under the paper. Like if you had a parchment, you'd have to make lines via take some type of sharp implement and make lines under the words and write it above that for whatever reason. So and additionally, it says Vakrinuli Day, continuing on with what he's writing in this document, he says I read to her min low from the word low, one word. Ah, lekachta. Vakrinuli Da. And similarly, I read min kacha bad cholitz. I read to her from this word to that min kacha bad cholitz. And now, from this word until that she he removed the shoe. So Marzutra misarted. He would scratch the ksiv l'chula parsha. He would write the parsha out in full. He wouldn't just write from this word to that word. I read to her from this word to that word. But he would write the entire parsha out in full. By the way, this is I slipped up again. This is the get which is read from to her in the court. This is the get which certifies that this is a get read to him in the court. But this is rather the get which certifies that they actually did the documents. It's a document which certifies that they did the whole chalitza process. So again, Marzitra scratched on the paper, did the scratchings, and wrote the whole parsha out in full. Maskifla Mar Bar Idi asked a question on Rav Zutra. He says, "V'hal lo nita likasev? You can write the whole parsha out in full because even if you did the scratchings." The Gemara says that you can't. The Gemara says in certain situations, not getting into the details right now, that this type of thing is not possible. But the Gemara ends up and saying the Marzutra. The halacha is like Marzutra that if you want, you can make the lines under the words and you can write the whole parsha out for this purposes. I mean, it's the reason basically is because it's not being used to learn. You're not allowed to write single partials in this fashion to learn from. But in this case, we're not using it to learn from. We're just using it as a kind of a certification that what the woman did, what the woman had to do, she did. Continuing on. 8:58, okay, we might go to 9:05. So, Amar Abaye, Rakaka, she spit the kalasu aruach, and the wind grabbed it and took it where it wasn't supposed to go. Lo asisa velo klum. She didn't accomplish anything. My time, and what's the reason? Because the puzzle says viyarka befanav. She has to spit before him, and the wind took it away to some other place. Viyarka befanav, but you know we need that she actually spit in front of him. Helkach, therefore. Who are? Let's say he's really tall. V'hi gutza, she's really short. Kolatsa aruach, and the wind took the spit. Ika b'fanav, you still have the spit going before her. Because, huh? I'm sorry. Yeah.
You have to spit upwards.
Yeah. Because listen, she's really short, and the second it comes out of her mouth, if she's really tall, so it's still in front of it, even though if the wind took it away. He aruka, but what if she's really tall? But who got it? He's really short. So, but even Adamati lahav the obvious one, okay? He's really tall, and she's spitting. She's really tall, and he's really short, and she's spitting. So if she spits and the wind carries away, it never got before him. It actually has to go in front of his face, and for this whole process to work, as the pasuk says, v'yarka b'fanav. It needs to be the spit has to be in front of her place. Mahadar Azal, then the wind can take the spit wherever, you know, the wind takes it. Amar Rava, Rava says, Achla Tuma, the woman who's performing the Chalitza process. So let's say she ate garlic. The Raksa, and she spit. Achla Gargishta, she ate some type of clay. Common thing. I mean, my son does it. He's like 2.5 years old. Oh, Play-Doh, whatever. The Raksa, so she eats clay, and she Raksa, and she spits. Lo Asav Lo Klum. She hasn't accomplished anything. My time, what's the reason? Because the pasuk says v'yarka, it has to be miatzma. It has to be from her. It has to be her spittle, and not something else. V'yarka miatzma, but you know, we need it to be from herself. V'leka, we don't have that. But Amar Rava, and Rava says tzrichi dayani lemechse ruka. The judges actually have to see the spit ki nafik mipuma diyavama when it actually leaves the mouth of the Yavama. The pasuk says le'inei hazakenim v'yarka. It has to be in front of the eyes when she spits. The pasuk says, ha 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 ha. Concluding the Gemara. The nikresh for now. The nikresh Shmo Yisrael, and his house should be called in. Its name should be called in Israel. Base. The house of Chol Tanal of the shoe removal. Mitzvah b'dayanim v'lo b'taminim. It's the Mishnah said it's a commandment, which is the what do you call it? It's something that the judges have to read out. The little bit talmidim and not the students. Tanya the Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Pamachas, Hayu Yoshvim. One time they were sitting with Rabbi Tarfon, before Rabbi Tarfon. Uvasi Yevama Lachlot and Yevama came do the shoe removal. Va'amar Lanu, and Rabbi Tarfon said to us, Va'amar Lanu, Anu Kuchem, all of you, should say, Chalotanal, Chanotanal, Chalotanal, move the shoe, why 3 times? Some editions of our Mishnah have it saying 3 times, but the bottom line is whatever you say 3 times for whatever reason. Hajin Allah, Mitzvahs Chalitza, Allah.
No Chalitza during a hurricane.
No Chalitza during a hurricane. Well, it depends.